Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next few moments, please stay with me. It will be some time of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and I think you know by now, we don't have any manipulation. That's right, we don't have any hidden agendas. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to con you. We're not trying to ask you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. All we're asking you to do is listen up. Listen carefully to the teaching of God's Word. The objective here is to give you enough information so you can verify and hopefully identify God's plan for your life. If you can do that, then you have the freedom, the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan as you see fit. But remember, no one can live your life for you. You have to live your life all alone. God gave you volition. Volition, V-O-L-I-T-I-O-N, volition. That means you have a chooser. You have a decider. Inside of you, there's a little invisible V for volition, and it's making decisions every day. And every time it makes a decision, it charts out a new pathway for your life. If it makes a bad decision, in other words, negative volition, if you go against God's word, then you absolutely chart a path to destruction. If you make good decisions, positive volition, then you absolutely chart a path to blessing. As goes your decisions, so goes your life. That's what we have to remember. God expects us to obey Him. That's why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, if we love God, we will obey God. And you want to hear the rest of that verse? Here's the amazing thing. He says, my mandates are not grievous. They're not hard. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's nothing hard about living the Christian life. I mean, it's very easy to learn God's plan if you have a desire, if you want to know it. That's very easy to get deceived. If you fall into the ritual of a religion without a relationship, that's terrible. You can get into religion without a relationship, or you can get into ritual without reality. A religion without a relationship is church, but not Christianity. And then the religion without any reality, without the reality to it, that's you going through the motions as a Christian, but not being filled with the Holy Spirit. So without the reality, if it's the ritual without the reality, like communion, for example, or baptism, those are rituals. Without reality, they're meaningless. You have to understand what God's plan is. And how do you do that? It's simple. You must do what the Bible says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. There's no way that any Christian can get approved by God without understanding God's word. And that's why the Bible is clear about knowledge and wisdom and how important it is. That's why the Bible says you have to renovate your thinking or change the way you think and let this mind be in you, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, that was also in Christ Jesus. And so as you change your thinking, as you move away from ritual with no reality to it, as you exercise your volition to obey God's mandates, how do you learn them? Well, hopefully you sit under a well-qualified pastor, a man who studies God's word and can teach it to you. Not a cruise ship director that I call him sometimes, but a serious student of the word of God. A man that can stand in the pulpit and break open the Bible and explain to you what it means and show you how you can apply it into your life. That's called application. If he can give you the application, then your volition picks up what he gave you and you can now do it or not do it. See, that's what it boils down to. Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. Now, let me make this clear. Nobody's going to do it 100% of the time except the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that never sinned. He was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish, and he took away the sin of the world. We have corrupted sin natures. We will fail. And even though we know the Bible tells us how we should live our life in certain areas, we fail. We, for example, know that we should not judge other people, Matthew 7. Because with what measure we measure, it will be measured back to us again. But we still do it. And so when you realize you've opened your mouth and you've slandered someone, or you've gossiped about someone, be it a family member or a church member or somebody you work with, that's a sin. Yes, it's a sin of the tongue. And it must be confessed. Because if you don't confess that sin, then you quench the Holy Spirit and you grieve the Holy Spirit and you begin to live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. It doesn't take long before you'll be on the sidelines, sitting on the bench wondering why you're out of the game. The Christian life is a supernatural life. It requires a supernatural power. And that supernatural power is in the form of God the Holy Spirit. Listen to Matthew 5, 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but it's on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Your light. Now I'm going to tie this up with Luke chapter 12, verse 45 through 51. And basically, this is the parable of the master and the servants and keeping the lamps burning in the house, waiting for the master to return. Here's what it says in Luke 12, 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, waiting on the master's return. Now, if we have a lamp, it's an oil lamp or a candle, but the oil lamp, predominantly the lamp that burns so much, required oil. And the oil for you is God the Holy Spirit. If you run out of oil, the fire goes out. The light goes out. If you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and the light goes out. You are not letting your lamp be lit if you have unconfessed sin in your life. And I know you're saying, I can't keep up with all of my sins. Well, nobody can. That's why the Bible says if we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. All wrongdoing, even the ones we don't remember. And so, and listen, sometimes you'll even confess a temptation. That's okay. Just keep a short account of sin if you want to keep the lamp burning. If you want to keep oil in the lamp, you must stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. The Bible goes on to say, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's the supernatural life that I'm speaking of. It's lived by means of God the Holy Spirit. By the way, that lamp can go out if the wick is not trimmed also. Trimming the wick means getting rid of the distractions that are associated with the details of life. There are a lot of distractions in life, and you and I have to be careful, because what distractions do, when Satan sees you start to grow, when Satan sees that you're hungry about becoming a real mature Christian and glorifying God to the max, he will give you distractions. You know what this is going to do? It's going to get you to detour away from your spiritual growth and detour into the details of life. You get sucked into the details of life, you will lay the Word of God aside, you will lay spiritual growth aside, and you will chase the details of life. I've seen it happen many times, and it's a sad thing to see, because in the end, you will realize what a mistake you made. And sometimes you may say, well, you know, I got to do this while I can. I can always come back to the Bible. I can always get back with it later. But right now, this opportunity is in front of me, and I need to pursue this opportunity with all the energy that I've got. And so you quit studying your Bible. You quit growing every day. You quit listening to the teaching of the Word of God under a well-qualified pastor. And the next thing you know, you're miles and miles down the road following the detour that leads to distraction. And eventually, you get discouraged when that doesn't work out, because then you realize that Satan tricked you. He promised you one thing, and then he didn't deliver it. And now you look back and you say, oh, I'm ashamed of myself. Look where I was and look where I am now. I must be an idiot. We've all been there, every one of us. If you're going to grow spiritually, it's a supernatural life. And you cannot afford to let your light go out. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 14 and 15, do all things without complaining, without disputing, so that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, lights attract things, bugs particularly, and people sometimes. And so you must keep your light shining. That means you must stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And you must continue to take in God's Word and learn it so that you become attractive to people that need to find their way in the dark. You are the light. Now, this study that I'm giving you is about discontent, it's about decline, and it's about destruction. And I want to talk to you a little bit about decline. How this nation has declined in its spiritual impact. And this is important that you listen to this. A nation declines individually before it declines collectively. In other words, before the United States of America takes a wrong turn and goes down the road to destruction, the individual believers in that nation took a wrong turn. Because as goes the believer, so goes the nation. And one thing that Satan loves to do is divide and conquer. And my own pastor has been teaching a study in Jude lately. And in that study, he's made it very clear that there's false teaching running rampant. And that's what Jude is addressing, those who are misrepresenting God. And it's clear to me, maybe to you also, that in the United States of America, there is a lot of false teaching running rampant. There are a lot of people selling God's Word, publishing, making books, selling records, selling. It's all about making the money. No one is authorized ever to sell the Word of God. We got it free, we give it free. And if you have to sell it, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And so one of the things that makes our ministry unique and the ministry of my particular church unique is we never sell anything. Everything is free. And we give away thousands of books every year from my church and hundreds of books from this ministry. All of them are free. So anytime you want anything we have, you just write to us and ask it, and you'll get it in the return mail with no charge. This is what's happening in our country. The amount of information that's going out is redundant, it's not accurate, and people are selling it. And the emotions have taken over in the worship so that there begins to be a ritual and no reality to it. This is all part of Satan's plan to divide and conquer, to get you to break ranks. This is what you have to understand. Paul warns Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, about two men in the church who were teaching a lie. Here's the verse, chapter 2, 2 Timothy 17 and 18. He said, their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. They have strayed, that means they broke ranks. They've strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they have overthrown the faith of some. Overthrown the faith of some. That word overthrown, if we go to the original Greek language to look at it, try to understand what that word means. It is pronounced anatrepo, A-N-A-T-R-E-P-O, anatrepo. And it's a present tense verb. It means this: they have flipped, or they have captured, or they have discouraged, or they have caused certain Christians to abandon ship. Yes, when did these people do it? When they bought into the lie. There are a lot of lies being taught today, and a lot of people buying into the lie. And the lie usually comes when people say you cannot take the Bible literally. You have to take it figuratively. It doesn't really mean what you think it says. And then they proceed to tell you what they think it means. So here is the principle. Paul just encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, before he mentioned these two men, that he should study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can be ashamed, you can be unashamed. And so ashamed means that you got it wrong. That's why Paul tells Timothy, study to show yourself approved. In other words, God's going to say, well done, so that you do not have to be ashamed. Ashamed comes as the judgment seat of Christ. When that fire is lit and all of your production is put on that fire, and some of it is wood, some of it's hay, some of it's stubble, and some of it is gold, silver, and precious stones, that's where the ashamed part comes in. So, when you come to the judgment seat of Christ, will you be ashamed? Will you look at that fire and say, there goes all my production? What does that mean? It means you did all these things in the energy of the flesh. You did all these things thinking that you were doing a right thing, but you did it in the wrong way because you did not do it under the filling of the Holy Spirit. You didn't use the supernatural power. You did it under the energy of the flesh. A Christian out of fellowship can tithe. A Christian out of fellowship can witness. A Christian out of fellowship can sing in the choir and take a mission trip. Yes, all he's got to do is decide to do it, and he does it. The only one who knows he's out of fellowship is God, because he sees the sin in his life. And all those right things wind up being done in the energy of the flesh in the wrong way. And at the judgment seat of Christ, they are evaluated and called wood, hay, and stubble. Now, Paul warns Timothy not to be disapproved. If you can be approved, you can be disapproved. So, when you presume to speak for God, like I'm doing right now to you, I am presuming to speak for God. This is dangerous. I understand that. It requires, number one, for me to have a spiritual gift, a communication gift. And number two, it requires me to be well prepared so I don't lead you astray or tell you something stupid. So when you start preaching to people, and this is where it gets bad, with social media today, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Christians want to preach to other people. They want to put out on there what they think the Bible should say. Listen, don't preach. You let the men that have the gift of pastor, teacher, or the gift of evangelism do the preaching. You don't need to do the preaching. You need to do the loving. You need to do the helping. You need to do the praying. You do not ever condone the sin. Do not ever disrespect the sinner. Just walk away. But don't preach, because this is what turns people off. Self-righteous, hypocritical Christians that want to preach to other people over the social media today. And most of the time, it winds up being some false doctrine that's not even true. So here's what is important. Teaching false doctrine is grounds for disapproval. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:16. This comes before 2:17, where Paul talked about Hymenaeus and Philetus. Listen to what he said before that. Avoid, and he's talking to Timothy, means stay away from, and it's an imperative mood verb. It's not asking. He's commanding him. Avoid profane and idle babbling, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Profane. What is that? That's the Greek word babelos, and that is a conversation that lacks any affinity to God. And idle babbling. What is that? It's a conversation called kinothonia. That's another Greek word. I'm sorry to give you all these Greek words. But kinothonia simply means this. It meant in the empty sounds and useless subjects. Idle babbling is you making an empty sound about a useless subject. This is a mandate to stay out of useless conversations that have no divine perspective. Stay out of useless conversations that have no divine perspective. Why? Because the weak-minded are easily influenced by the spectacular, easily influenced in the venue of spirituality, especially if it's spectacular spirituality, healing or some miracle, and people want it and people believe it and people buy it. They pay big bucks for it. The weak-minded believer, that's the Christian that has no spiritual autonomy. He's not able to stand on his own two feet. He's a sucker for attention. So he feels lonely, and he needs attention from the pastor. He needs attention from the minister. And he is a sucker for false teaching, because somebody's going to come along and say, "Brother, if I was you, this is what you ought to do. You ought to go over to this camp for lonely people. You ought to go to this conference for lonely people and get closer to God." And usually it's an emotional experience. And it'll leave you further away from God than you've ever been if you go. See, there's no room for a weak-minded pastor in the Word of God. That's why Paul told Timothy, "You better study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Not study to show yourself disapproved, but approved. Pastors can be captured just as easily as a weak-minded member of the congregation. He can buy into the lie too. So don't think for one minute that you're smarter than the enemy. And that's AKA the devil. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your vein of arrogance. And if you're lonely, oh, he can provide a cosmic friend. He can provide even a weak-minded spiritual mentor who will guide you into the maze of spiritual fantasy. And they'll do it with some exciting narrative and false mechanics, and your Christian life will be upside down and inside out. You'll be so messed up you won't know which way's coming, which way's going. He will lead you into emotional worship. He will make you think that as your emotions go, so goes your spiritual life. Stay away from the cosmic friends that say, "You know what you need? You need to blow it out one weekend. You just need to come with me and let's let everything blow it all out and have a great time." Well, that's a cosmic friend. And the weak-minded spiritual mentor, that's the Christian that comes along beside you that has been to a recent retreat or been to a recent study, and they got something new and some new spiritual height that they've been to. And oh, it's so fantastic. They got all this exciting narrative, but they're wrong. And they lead you into this maze of spiritual fantasy, leading you to think that you're going to be a great believer if you do something. I've even heard of churches that say, "You want to be a great believer? Take off your watches and your rings and put them in the offering plate. Show God how much you love Him." That's stupid. They say, "You want to be a great believer? Sell everything you've got and go live among the poor people." That's stupid. That's not a sign of a great believer. That's a sign of an idiot. You want to be a great believer? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a great believer. You grow up. You have a national, invisible impact on your nation. You have a historical impact on your nation. You don't buy into this junk. Listen, there's no way to do it except one day at a time. One day at a time, and you may have to do it alone because nobody may go with you. Your wife might not go with you. Your husband might not go with you. But if you decide that you want to grow spiritually, and there's not a church in your area where you can do it, and you say, okay, I'm going to order some tapes, I'm going to order radio shows, I'm going to order some of these pastors that Rick has told me about, and I'm going to start listening every day, you'll find a war. You'll find all sorts of distractions, and you may have to go it alone. But if you have the courage to stand up to the distractions and the temptations, and if you will stay filled with God's Holy Spirit, you will turn your world upside down for Jesus Christ. It will be amazing. And Jude 16b talks about these weak-minded spiritual mentors. It says they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain an advantage. And in Jude 19, these are sensual people who cause division, and they do not have the Spirit of God. In 2 Timothy 2:19, going back to the passage where Paul is warning Timothy about these two men, he said, "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." What does that mean? Iniquity is the false doctrine that those two men are teaching, that the resurrection has already taken place. And depart is an imperative mood verb. It's a command. It means to withdraw or flee. When you hear false doctrine taught, flee. Get away from it. Do not blend in, and do not bend your doctrine to agree with their doctrine. Flee. Get away from it. We have a whole nation that is declining because we're bending the rules and we're blending in with the culture. And Christianity and the culture today don't blend. That's why they hate you as a Christian. That's why they're doing everything they can to shut you up. That's why they're doing everything they can to marginalize any Christian impact in the public sector. It doesn't fit. And that's what we've done today. We've walked away from the claims of God. We've accepted all the wonderful gifts that He's given us, all the blessings He's bestowed on our nation. And now we've said, thank you, God, don't need you anymore. We're rich and we've got everything we need. So if you don't mind, just leave us alone. That's where America is today. We're in trouble, friends. Big trouble. Better get this. You better understand this. You're going to need it. Near in the future. Very near. Thank you for listening. Hope you'll come back next week. Same time, same place. Until then, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.